We're waiting for results from the Philippines, where a presidential election was held today with some comparisons to our own, thanks to frontrunner Rodrigo Duterte. Joining us now is the BBC's Jonathan Head, who is in Manila. And Jonathan, tell us more about Rodrigo Duterte. Who is he?
Well, he's a veteran mayor. If you live down in the southern city of Davao, it's the third largest city in the Philippines, but has a reputation in the past for lawlessness and violence. You'd know him very well. He's been mayor there for 22 out of the last 28 years. A very tough law and order guy. And when I say very tough, I mean this mayor is accused by people like Human Rights Watch of supporting death squads to deal with crime there. The local people, and I was down in Davao a few days ago, the local business community in particular, say he's done a great job. He's transformed it from a really scary place to live to somewhere where people feel at peace and where business is good. But he's also running very much as an anti-establishment candidate. He's got this very earthy, unscripted way of talking to voters, an incredibly dirty sense of humor. He's quite shocking. He has definitely some parallels with Donald Trump. He likes saying outrageous things, and he's realized they don't hurt him, that when he says something really outrageous, although people are shocked, they also feel, well, he's speaking his mind. And here there's a degree of weariness with the big political families who've dominated politics for the last few decades. You always see the same names popping up at every election, or you see their children or their cousins or their wives. And Duterte is a different kind of a guy, and he doesn't pretend to offer the earth. But he is quite scary. This is a man who said time and time again during the campaign, I will kill if I have to, and warned criminals that he will kill them in large numbers. And interestingly, in one constituency in Manila today, one of my Filipino colleagues said there were large numbers of people known to be drug addicts lining up to vote, which they hadn't seen before, because these people are terrified of Duterte winning.
Well, let's listen to some of the tape that you gathered. You spoke with Clarita Aria. Her four sons, all teenagers, were killed by death squads a decade ago.
It was when Bobby, the third of my sons, was killed that I finally realized the police had been serious when they had threatened to kill my boys one by one.
So people are connecting these death squad killings to the person who is now the front runner for the presidency?
Yes, people have. Good investigations have been done by respected human rights organizations. Duterte himself has always denied the existence of these death squads and always said he wasn't linked to them. But he's also said, I support the killing of criminals in extrajudicial ways. That's how you clean up crime. I'm willing to do it. I think it's a good thing. You know, when you talk to people here in the Philippines, it's interesting. I mean, people here are endlessly forgiving. They tend to have a very optimistic view of life and a very optimistic view of their democracy. I don't sense that those who are supporting his law and order message, they love the idea of it, of a tough guy, but I'm not sure they understand how real it is. There's always an air of performance and unreality about Filipino politics anyway. You know, quite a lot of people I spoke to in Davao said, well, you know, he sounds rough, but he's not as bad as he sounds. And, you know, yes, he's done some rough things, but you know, don't worry so much. I watched him on Saturday at a rally. He's got a great way with people. He had them falling about laughing. We simply don't know what kind of a man he'll be. And he's got some other very unusual policy platforms. For example, he's pushing very hard for a federal system of government here, much more devolution to the regions. He's also, he said, very willing to negotiate with Muslim insurgents here who are a real problem in the Philippines. And he says he'll talk to China about the South China Sea, where there are islands that China's taken over that the Philippines claims. Current President Aquino has been very tough on China, but got nowhere. Mr. Duterte says, what's wrong with talking to China? I'll talk to them about it. So he's not predictable, and his policy platforms aren't always what you expect them to be.
Jonathan, you mentioned the issue of the South China Sea, and that's obviously an internationally important issue. We've also spoken on this program with the current president of the Philippines, about climate change because of all the typhoons that come through that region. Why does this election matter outside the Philippines?
From my perspective, having lived in this region a very long time, the Philippines is the one place in this region where there is still an enormous belief in democratic government and democratic procedures. You know, despite the fact that 30 years of governance in the Philippines have delivered quite poor results, frankly, for those at the bottom of the social scale. In Thailand, you have a middle class that gave up on democracy when they didn't like the results, and they've got a military government. In Malaysia, you've got a one-party rule in a notional democracy that's riven by allegations of corruption. You know, there's nowhere else where democracy thrives in this region as well as it does in the Philippines. if Duterte does some of the things he says he doesn't think democracy is important if he needs to get things done. I think that could be very important. Will the Philippines continue to be the democratic standard bearer for this region, or will it fail as it has in so many other parts of the world? That aside, dealing with China is an incredibly delicate issue here. It's effectively a regional power. Most of the countries in the region pretty much give way when China demands. There are very few of them that are standing up to China over the South China Sea. President Aquino has done it from an inevitable position of weakness. The US is trying to bolster those who do want to stand up against China, in particular Vietnam. If the next government also decides it's not worth it, that you can't deal with China, then the US will lose some of its leverage in this region.
That's the BBC's Jonathan Head in Manila in the Philippines, where there's an election going on. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you.